Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Now, let's get to the teaching of the day. But before I do that, I got to talk to you about something connected to the teaching of today. We are fasting now and have been for 6 days. And how many of you are engaged in the fast for a little bit? Way to go, church. That's awesome. Fantastic. How many of you have found yourselves to be a little more grumpy than normal? How many of you are just grumpy whether you're fasting or not? Okay, that's cool. Let me give you three focuses or foci for us as we continue to fast. The fast is going to take us up through the end of this month, through the end of this teaching series, which is You Gotta Say No to Grow, as we prepare to celebrate Easter in the season known as Lent. The three prayer focuses are, number one, pray for your clan. Now, when I say clan, I'm thinking Clash of Clans. How many of y'all play Clash of Clans? And come on, who plays Clash of Clans in here? And how many of you, let's be honest, have played Clash of Clans in church while I'm teaching before? Anybody? Oh, you're getting called out right there. Family group. And so the first thing that you can pray for the rest of this month as we continue in our fast, is your clan. You know specifically what your family needs, so pray for your clan. Secondly, pray for this church. This church has needs as well, and I'll give you some of those as the next few weeks roll by, but pray for this church. And then thirdly, pray for the community. You have specific understandings of the community, I think, so I'm asking you for this month to pray for your clan, this church, the community. All right? How many of you have found the fasting to be a little difficult? Okay, that's good. I'm going to give you two fasting tips today. Fasting tip number one, look cheerful. Just look at this. Look cheerful. And as you look at these pictures, Jesus says, when you fast, not if, when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting. It's a cheerful thing, and I get that it's difficult, but these people are modeling for us what we need while we're fasting. This is not a grumpy fest. Fight through it and put cheer on your face, okay? You don't want to go through the next 21 days till we get to Easter grumpy and sad. And actually, there's a psychological truth. When you tell your face to act happy, it can translate to your soul and you can actually feel happy. So turn to your neighbor and give him your cheesiest, goofiest, cheerful look. Let's see what it is. All right, it's not bad. And then the second and last fasting tip of the day, adjust accordingly, right? Jesus, the Spirit, the Father, they're not in charge of the Gestapo, right? This isn't like you're in shackles until the 27th. So if you need to make adjustments for the next 21 days till we get to Easter, make your adjustments. Some of you might have thought, man, I'm going to do nothing but water for 27 days. Your spirit was so excited and so willing, but you found out that you might have bitten off more than you can chew. The old flesh is weak. A few weeks ago, I reminded you, you might need to start small. So crawl before you run. So if you signed up for a marathon, but realize you're barely able to do a 5K, that's okay. Just back it off and adjust accordingly. This was never meant to be a shaming thing. So if you have failed, shake it off, no big deal. Get up, move on, re-engage. And if you need to adjust the fast in your life, do it. Y'all got this? Okay. So now, in this series of You Gotta Say No to Grow, I'm going to give you the third component of prayer. Last week, I gave you two aspects of prayer, encouraging you to become people who pray. And I mentioned back then that if you want to grow, and again, participation is helpful for you, who would love to stay stagnant in your faith and never grow? Anybody? Is anybody excited to be at the same place in the faith journey today that you're going to be 10 years from now? Who wants to be stagnant? All right. Conversely, who would love to grow in their faith? Yeah, okay, you could even add some vocalization to that. I mean, really, would you like to grow in your faith? Well, here's the deal. My job is to help you grow in your faith. I'm not just up here because I like speaking. I'm up here because I think there are some things that can be helpful to you if you put into practice that which you hear. So if you truly commit to becoming people who pray, You will grow in your faith. If you are kind of like a seed in your faith, if you commit to this concept of praying, you will grow to be someone kind of like a root in your faith. And if you're kind of there, you will grow over here to be someone who's like a tree in your faith. Prayer is crucial to your growth. And yet we put it in the series, Say No to Grow, because although most people would say prayer, yeah, we all get that it's a good idea, prayer is a difficult thing to actually get at. Because there's a million other things that would want to fight for our time and to call us to do that. It's tough. So you've got to say no to grow in this thing of prayer. So last week I gave you two of the three components of prayer. One was intercession, praying for other people. Two was to ask and pray for yourself. And I'm wondering how you're doing. You've had 6 days in the 27 days to pray every day. Well, here it comes. Number three, the third component of prayer. And to get at it, I want to quote an old dead guy by the name of A.W. Tozer. He asks this question. He says, has the Lord ceased speaking? Has the Lord ceased speaking? Or is he still speaking, but humankind has closed its heart's ears to his voice? Has humankind closed its heart's ears to his voice? He goes on to say this, God, well, I'm going to make sure you get what the old dead guy says. So elbow your neighbor and say, pay attention here. No, come on, tell him, pay attention here. He says this, God continues to speak. And if we listen, his voice penetrates to our heart's core. So what I wanted to do today to get at this topic, this third component of prayer, is I've got a boatload of verses right out of the Bible that I want to go on the screen and just read them. And I'm going to just read them and then maybe comment on one or two of the verses near the end. And so are you ready to just be inundated with some words straight from Scripture? Okay, here's the first one. While they were worshiping, that's the early church, while they were worshiping the Lord, what have y'all been doing this morning? And what have we been doing for 6 days? While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. The operative phrase that I want you to see there is the Holy Spirit said. Next verse. When the Spirit of truth comes, Jesus says, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Turn to your neighbor and say with a friendly, cheerful face, he will speak. He will speak and he will declare to you the things that are to come. The operative phrase there is he will speak. Next verse. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. Now, the operative phrase there is not three men are looking for you. That is it. The Spirit said. Next verse. And Jesus says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Somebody say helper. To be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He dwells with you. Next verse. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, your ears shall hear. Would you get your friendly finger out? Leave your driving finger in your pocket. Point to your neighbor and say, your ears shall hear. Next verse. I will instruct you. This is the Lord speaking to the psalmist. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with a bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Here we go. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Instruct, teach, counsel. Instruct, teach, counsel. I will, God says, instruct, teach, and counsel you. Next verse. Call to me, and I might think about answering you. If you tithe, maybe I'll give you an answer. If you behave correctly, maybe I'll point something out in scriptures to you. Is that what it says? Of course not. What does it say? Somebody read those next four words. Call to me and I will answer you. I will answer you. This is the word of the Lord coming through the prophet or prophet Jeremiah. God is saying to his people, call to me and I will answer you. Call to me, God says, and I will answer you, and I'll tell you. No, I'll tell you. I will tell you. Somebody say, he's going to tell you something. And I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. He'll answer, and he'll tell you. Next verse. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, this is Jesus talking, he will teach you, he'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And Jesus says, parent with tag 764, please come to the nursery. That's always awkward. I feel bad for whoever this. Everybody, let's have a moment of prayer. Every head bowed. Now's your chance. The Holy Spirit, friends, who was sent by the Father, is sent to teach you. Next verse. He who has an ear. Now let's just check. How many of y'all got ears? How many of y'all got two of them? Yeah? There's a dude named Malchus in the Bible, at least for a brief period of time. He only had one ear. But that's okay because it doesn't say he who has ears to hear. It says he who has an ear. So I want you to just check your neighbor, make sure they have an ear. Go ahead and check. If your neighbor has at least one ear, tell them then that this verse applies to them. Go ahead and tell them. So he, and I just want to be clear, the New Testament was written in what language? Yeah, Greek. The Old Testament was written in? See, this is extra for fun. The Old Testament was written amongst a Hebrew culture and a Hebrew-dominant world, and so it was written through Hebrew language and the lens of the Hebrew people. By the time the New Testament rolled around, a few hundred years after the Old Testament was finished, it's written in a Greek culture. Greek people think differently than Hebrew people, and it's just a little bit different. And so I want you to hear this. In the Greek, when you see the word he, every single woman is off the hook because it means nothing for you. Okay? So, sorry, ladies. The Spirit has nothing to say to female types. Right? Of course, that's stupid. I'm making a point that I hope you get that's obvious. When you see words like he, that's an inclusive thing. So the one who has an ear, whether he is a he or she is a she, the one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, the operative phrase, it really has nothing to do with ears. It has to do with the Spirit saying thing to the church. The Spirit of the Lord has things that he wants to say to the church. And let's just be clear, this building, which I'm still incredibly thankful for, we've been here about 14 months, right? It's a nice building. Do you like it? The building ain't the church. You are the church. And so when the Bible says the Spirit will speak to the church, he's saying the Spirit of God will speak to you, people, not building, you, people. So if you got an ear, let him or her hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And then, next verse. Everybody repeat after me. Bah. Bah. Ooh, that was a good one. Way to go, John. Nice. Such imagery and language, let's just be clear, is referencing to the people of God as sheep. You, my friends, and I, we are the sheep. So the Bible tells us that my sheep listen to my voice. But A.W. Tozer wonders if humankind has closed its heart's ear to his voice. But Jesus says, the sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. See, the Spirit of God has a voice. The Spirit of God has a voice. Next one. Okay. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Here's what I want to tell you about this. Jesus Christ, according to Christian biblical theology, is God himself. God has three distinct parts, but is one in being. There's the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And so when we read Hebrews 13:8, and it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, you can understand biblically, theologically, that is saying God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want you to be clear on this before I say anything else. Jesus, the Spirit, the Father, they are the same as they were yesterday. They're the same today, and they're going to be the same tomorrow. Does that make sense? Somebody say, he's the same. He does not change. And so all the things, here we go, that we just read of the Spirit and of God in the Scriptures, what he was doing back then, he's doing today. And what he's doing today, he will do tomorrow. Here's the deal. The speaking, the Spirit of the Lord speaking to his people, for this is the third component of prayer I'm bringing up to you today, and that is to listen to the Spirit of the Lord. The third component is to listen to the Spirit of the Lord. Somebody say, you got to listen. Now, let me just make something clear before I move on with this scripture. If you are in relationship and you never listen, you won't be in relationship for long. And I think some of you might know that from experience. You can't have a relationship with any level of intimacy without communicating with your mouth and listening with your ears. You see, Jesus went to the cross, took the nails, went to the tomb, was buried 3 days, but he conquered death. He came out of this. We're going to celebrate this on Easter morning. He came out of the tomb not so that we could have a distant religious relationship with the God over there. See, all of Christianity points to the fact that the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe, the Lord of Lords, wants intimacy, closeness with people. It's been a few weeks since we've done this. This represents you. Everybody raise your left hand and say, hello, me. Amen. The right hand represents the Lord. Everybody say, hello, God. Amen. Boom. This, my friends, if you're new to this thing of Christianity and you're wondering what it's about, let me just tell you what it's about. Boom, this is what about. Christianity is not about an angry God who's spiteful and angry, ready to smite us the moment we mess up. Thank God for that, because we mess up every single day of our lives. It's not about that. It's about a God who removes obstacles that keep people from him and his love and his blessings so that it can be like this. This, my friends, is what it's about. And so when we read in the scriptures that there's a God who speaks to his people through the Holy Spirit, and we see verses like this that say he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, God himself today wants to speak to his people if his people would just listen. Now, here's the deal. Some in the Christian community, our brothers and sisters, and we respectfully might disagree with this one, say that whenever you see a move in the scripture of the Holy Spirit, that was just for a season. It's not for now. And this is kind of the camp that I grew up in going to church. The Spirit isn't active today. And yet when you read the scriptures, in my understanding, you can't help but understand that what he did then, he's doing now. You see, when we read the scriptures, pay attention to this. We're not reading a bunch of exceptions to the rule. We're not reading stories of all these people who hear from the Lord and saying, wow, those are really cool exceptions. I wish we could be an exception. They're not exceptions to the norm. They are examples of what is to be normal. Did you hear this? The word where God speaks to people is not an exception to normal. It is the example of what normal ought be. God died to speak with you. And he died and rose again from the dead so that you could hear from him if you would just train your heart's ears to hear what he has to say. It's not a bunch of exceptions, it's a bunch of examples. I want you to say that. It is not exceptions. Say exceptions. Mm-mm-mm. Somebody say, It's examples. Say examples. Say, yes, it is. Not exceptions, but examples. All right. Well, hang on. So what I'm telling you is that there's a component of prayer where we listen with the heart's ears and the Spirit of God communicates to us. That's what I'm saying, right? Are we all clear on this? How many of you know who Jim Jones is? If you don't know who Jim Jones is, you can Google this. It's horrific. This was a cult leader who, quote, unquote, heard the voice of the Lord. And in hearing the voice of the Lord told him to poison all of his followers with poison-laced Kool-Aid. He heard the voice of the Lord. How many of you remember this was 1993? A guy by the name of David Koresh. Anybody remember that name? If you don't know that one, Google that one. He was a cult leader down in Waco, Texas, who heard the voice of the Lord tell him to take every woman in the cult, remove them from their husbands, make them part of his concubine, his harem, sleep with them all, and abuse the children, and by the way, defy all of the governments, and it ended horribly while the whole thing burnt down, killing a boatload of people, because he heard from the Lord. So, would you say that again? He heard the wrong one. Or did they? So here's where the rubber hits the road, and this is where, if we're intelligent and not living a life of Pollyanna denial, we have to acknowledge that there's tension in the scriptures that say God will speak when you put that against humanity who have done horrible things because they've heard from the Lord. I could tell you about the Crusades and how thousands upon thousands of people were killed in the name of the Lord because the leaders heard from the Lord to slaughter everyone else. I could tell you about the Spanish Inquisitions. I could tell you about slavery. I could tell you about Marshall Applegate. I could tell you about all these occult leaders and the horrible things that the Church of Jesus has done because they heard from the Lord. And so here's the deal. We have a scripture teaching that says God will speak to his sheep and the sheep know his voice. We have a teaching that says, I have much to say to you, and yet we have human history where people have heard from the Lord doing stupid, horrible, ungodly things. So the rubber has hit the road, and we now have to make a decision. Do we turn our back on what the scriptures say because of what experience has taught us? That is an example. It is a choice that we could make. It's one of the options. We see the horrible things in reality, and maybe that scripture just doesn't apply here. Maybe the cessationists, those who think the Spirit ceased to work, maybe they're right. It's an option. Or maybe there's some teaching that illuminates the stupidity of humanity in light of the scriptures. Maybe there are ways that we can train our ears to hear appropriately and rightly because of the sinfulness of humanity. We can hear incorrectly, but maybe there are guidelines in scriptures that train us how to listen. I'm thinking that is the option. And to help us maybe pursue that option instead of dismissing all of scripture because of experience, maybe we should have experience, enlightened example. And so let's go to our buddy. His name is Samuel. It's a big text, and I want to just look at it a little bit, and then I'm going to just give you a few points on this, on this whole concept of listening. So let's do this. Samuel is a young guy serving in the house of the Lord. I'm giving you some background here real quick before I read this. His leader, his master, the priest that he was training under is a guy by the name of Eli. So late one night, while Eli and Samuel were sleeping, the Lord called to Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and he said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I didn't call you, go back and lie down." Now what you don't get there is maybe the true effect. How many of you have been woken up in the middle of the night for no purpose? I'm suspecting Eli said, "What are you thinking, you knuckle? I didn't call you, go back to bed and let me sleep." So he, Samuel, he went and he lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. "Samuel!" Samuel got up and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "Whew, my son. My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Leave it there. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. There are times when the Lord is speaking, but we don't know the Lord is speaking. So the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Moving on. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." A third time. You see, Samuel had no paradigm, no concept of the Lord speaking to him, so he couldn't even deduce on his own that God was speaking. A third time, he thought that Eli was playing tricks on him. "Hey, you called me. Here I am. What do you want?" And Eli realized, Eli, the older, more experienced one, said, "The Lord was calling you, boy." He realized that the Lord was calling you, so Eli told Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Next one. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there calling, as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Let me just highlight a few things that will be helpful for us as we pursue this third component of prayer, the component of listening. See, the Lord is speaking even when we don't know he's speaking. I'm going to say it this way. I believe the Lord has been speaking to you, and you might not even know it's the Lord speaking to you. You see, Samuel didn't understand the whole concept of the Lord speaking, therefore he didn't know the Lord was speaking, and maybe you haven't understood that the Spirit of the Lord wants to speak to you. Maybe you didn't know this. And so you've been feeling these gut urges. How many of you feel like your gut leads you sometimes? And I'm not talking like at the buffet. Come on, gut feed me. But you know what I'm talking about? That gut thing, man. I just feel like this is the way I ought to go. Or you get a mental nudge. Yeah, I think this is the, how many of you felt those mental nudges where you feel like that's the direction I should go? See, the Bible says there's a voice behind you saying, "Go this way." I think the Lord has been speaking to many of you, and you didn't know it was the Lord. You've been like Samuel, who just didn't know. And you'll notice that Eli didn't say, "You moron." He might have been tired because it was the middle of the night, but he didn't say, "Shame on you." When Eli wisened up, he said, "Oh, God's speaking to you, my son." So allow us to role play for just a moment. You're Samuel. I'm Eli. Now, I don't want to do this long because the Bible says Eli died blind, deaf, extremely overweight, and fell off a stool and broke his neck. I don't want to play Eli for long. But right now, I want to play Eli and say to you, Samuel, the Lord is speaking to you. The Lord is speaking to you. And when you feel that gut thing, when you feel that nudge, say, "Speak, Lord. I'm listening." Now, let's just be clear, right? David Koresh thought he heard the Lord. Jim Jones thought he heard the Lord. A lot of stupid Christians over the years have done horrible things in the name of the Lord. And so from the story of Samuel and Eli, we learn something. We learn that the word of the Lord needs to be checked by way of the Bible and believers. Somebody say Bible and believers. See, these guys were living out what is now our Bible, and Samuel went to a believer to get some direction. You can't hear from the Lord in isolation. You have to hear in community, and that's why part of our growth, if you go to our grow tool, not only will you read about prayer helping you become a seed, a root, to a tree, you will read the immense value of community. You will not grow from here to here to here unless you live in community of some sort. Because it's the community of believers that helps us understand the direction of the Lord. We see from Samuel and Eli that when we hear from the Lord, it must be balanced with the Bible and believers. And throughout the history, Jim Jones, David Koresh, these people have taken themselves apart from the scriptures and apart from other believers. You'll note too from the story. Let me tell you what I've noted so far. The Lord was speaking even when Samuel didn't know the Lord was speaking, right? That was the first thing. The Lord was speaking even when he didn't know the Lord was speaking. And Samuel, secondly then, checked what he was experiencing with the Bible and believers. That's the second thing. And then thirdly, it took some practice. For Samuel, it was four times that the Lord spoke to him before he said, "Oh, the Lord is speaking to me." It will take practice. Effort, work, those things that none of us love to do. We'd rather watch TV, read a book, do something else. But for the dude to hear from the Lord, it took effort. He had to say no to himself so that he could grow into the one God intended him to be. And God intended him to be one who heard the voice of the Lord, as is true for you. Listen. So I heard this teaching a long time ago. And when I first heard that the Spirit of the Lord will speak to me, you know what my first thought was? Would you like me to be honest? That's good, because I usually am honest. That doesn't mean I'm not honest. My first thought was, I heard this while at seminary up in Holland, Michigan in 1994, I think it was. And my thought was, because the people at my seminary said with me, The thought of the Spirit speaking to individuals, that's for them weirdos on Christian TV late at night. You know, the guys who wear the purple suits and the massive gold watches, you know, and the ladies with the big hair and the massive eyelashes, you know, that's for them weird people. That was my first thought. I ain't gonna listen to the Lord. That's weird. But you know what? I couldn't get away from the scriptures. Just so you know, if you don't want your life changed, don't read the Bible. Do you hear that? If you don't want your life changed, don't read the Bible. But if you read the Bible with an honest eye, you're going to see things in there that you're like, "What? I didn't, what? That's not what I learned in Sunday school." I learned that when I read through the scriptures, I learned that it wasn't a bunch of exceptions, but it was a bunch of examples, and that God was always speaking to his people. And so it took me a long time to kind of digest this and understand that this is something that I wanted. And I got to a point where I said, you know, I would like to hear from the voice of the Lord. You might have heard me share this before. It's worth repeating if you have. So when I got to the place where I could understand that the God of heaven speaking to people isn't just for those weird Christians late at night on Christian TV, but it was for me, I said, you know, I'm gonna do it same way. I'm gonna work hard at hearing the voice of the Lord. And you have heard this story maybe. I went down to the monastery, St. Gregory's Abbey in Three Rivers, just down south, about 40 minutes. They're a bunch of, you know, there's, I think, 8 of them. These guys are Episcopal monks who live the life of a monk. They wear these black long robe things. They don't speak much. You know, if they're feeling really friendly on a day, they'll do this. They'll just nod their head and smile. But they give a place of quiet and peaceful reflection for anybody who wants to go down there. So I went down there and I sat in their chapel all by myself and said, God, I got a half hour. That's all I can do right now. I can only sit still for a half hour. And I want you to speak to me. So I've heard all this teaching, Lord, about the Spirit speaking. So would you teach me, talk to me, say something to me, Lord. And I had my journal out. That's key. It's key for me because when you write things down, it helps me focus. Because I know in my prayer times, if I'm not writing it, I ain't praying because I am so distracted with life. So I was ready to hear insights from the Lord. So, Lord, speak to me. I'm going to give you a half hour. And you've heard the story maybe. You know, I began to wonder if my belt matched my shoes. Yeah, I did. I got the right colored belt. Because, you can't wear a black belt with brown shoes. I hate when people do that. You know, focus. Lord, what do you want to say to me? And I had my eyes closed like this because that's how you have to pray, right? You have to pray with your eyes closed. So Lord, what do you want to say to me? What's for lunch? Focus. I should have eaten breakfast before I came here. Focus. Boy, the Pistons were horrible last night. I can't believe that. But Ben Wallace, he's got sweet hair. Focus. And this is the way it went for much of the time. You see, because learning to listen when you have grown up in a distracted world with a busy mind where you're trained to, when you get in the car, turn on the radio, when you get home, turn on the radio, the TV, when you live in a world that says distract your mind, it's incredibly hard to silence your mind. Half hour, Lord, come on. So as the time was going on, I'm looking at the clock, and then out of nowhere, I hear this, I love you. No, I didn't hear, I love you. But a thought came to my mind, I love you, what? Could that have been the voice of the Lord, I wonder? But I wrote it down, Lord, I think I just heard you say I love you. And that was it. My first half hour of listening to the Lord, I got 3 words, I love you. But I'll tell you what, those were 3 awesome words. And it was enough to pull me back. And so once a month, for about a year, I would go back to the monastery and give the Lord a half hour. And as the inner ears were trained, like Samuel, as I began to realize the Lord is speaking, as I began to recognize 3 words became 8 words, became 10 words. And I remember the day I had a breakthrough, I actually went through 16 pages of the Lord speaking things to me. They weren't huge pages, but they were pages. I felt the Lord was saying things to me that certainly lined up with the Bible and certainly checked out with other believers, but it was the Spirit of God speaking to me. I had to say no to grow, to get there. No, I'm thinking you would like that, right? Would you like to hear God speak to you this way? If you would you verbalize something? Say, yeah, if you do. It's too bad. It's only for pastors. And bald people. And people who are 6'5 or taller. You got to have those 3 criteria. I'm so sorry. I hope you enjoyed the teaching. It's good for me. Stinks to be you. See, I'm saying that because that's what you will think. You will be, here it comes. Can I be a little forthright with you? You will be dumb enough to think that what I'm saying is just for pastor types. Now, come on, people. It's not an exception. It's an example. And the Lord wants to speak to you all kinds of affirmation, all kinds of love, all kinds of direction, sometimes words of rebuke. But the Lord wants to speak to you if you would just listen. So A.W. Tozer, once again, he says, I believe that what we hear from God personally will always agree, somebody say, always agree, with the words and principles in the written word of God, the Bible. Having the Bible, however, does not mean that God no longer speaks personally to his people. And to hear personally from God does not mean that the Bible is inadequate. Mm-mm. The Word and the Spirit work together and are always in agreement. You have 21 more days where you've agreed to be people who listen to the Lord. Nope, you've agreed to be people who will pray and fast. I'm now saying be people who will listen. Add this to your prayer.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.